Good evening. Hope everybody had a good Sunday afternoon. Tonight we're going to be taking a look at Psalms chapter 58. If you can turn over to that in your Old Testaments, please. As many of the Psalms are that we find throughout the Old Testament, this one is written by David. Do you indeed speak righteousness, you silent ones? Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? Know in heart you work wickedness. You weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that stops its ear, which will not heed the voice of charmers, charming ever so skillfully. Break their teeth in their mouth, O God. Break out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them flow away as waters which run continually. When he bends his bow, let his arrows be as if cut in pieces. Let them be like a snail which melts away as it goes, like a stillborn child of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the burning thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, as in his living and burning wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God who judges in the earth. Now, throughout the book of Psalms, you will notice the varying structure of the different formats being used. We see psalms of thanksgiving, we see psalms of praise, but in this case, we're finding a psalm of lament. Now, throughout the book of Psalms, we see 150 psalms in total. And depending on who you're talking to, there are anywhere between 65 to 67 psalms in the format of a lament. Now, by definition, a lament can be described as a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. And this is definitely where we find David at this point in time. By all indications, this psalm was probably written during the time when King Saul was persecuting David and attempting to have him killed. However, to put this psalm in its proper context, we need to turn to the book of 1 Samuel so we can practically see firsthand how this plot develops. As you read throughout the book of 1 Samuel, among other subplots, you will study the rise and the fall of King Saul as the king of Israel. And the Israelites had been clamoring for a king so that they could be like all the other nations around them. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, the elders of Israel came to Samuel and request this very thing. Samuel was very displeased with this request, and he prayed to the Lord as he searches for answers. We see God's response in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7, when he says, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. As the book continues, we see where Saul is selected to be the king of Israel, and he is anointed with a flask of oil at the beginning of chapter 10. Unfortunately for Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 13 is where we begin to see the beginning of the end. And for those who have their Bibles out, if you'd like to turn over and read along with 1 Samuel chapter 13, I'll be reading verses 1 through 14. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it had happened, as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David has his 10,000s. Now, what more could... I'm sorry, I totally skipped ahead. We're in 1 Samuel 18. I apologize. No. Let me jump back to 1 Samuel 13 so we will get this in its proper context. So Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gilba of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. And Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." Now all Israel heard it said that Saul had attacked the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel had also become an abomination to the Philistines. And the people were called together to Saul at Gilgal. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me," and he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord.' Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." At this point, things only go from bad to worse for Saul. As we then continue through chapter 17, David battles Goliath and defeats the Philistine champion. David's name and popularity begins to rise among the people of Israel after this enormous upset. Then we'll jump back to 1 Samuel 18, where we were. And pick up in verse 7, where as they're returning from the defeat of the Philistines, the women sang as they danced in verse 7, and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? So saw I David from that day forward." And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand, as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "Let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." So David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" But it happened at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel the Meholathite as wife. Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. So Saul said, "I will give her to him, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Therefore Saul said to David a second time, "You shall be my son-in-law today." And Saul commanded his servants, "Communicate with David secretly, and say, 'Look, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore become the king's son-in-law.' So Saul's servant spoke these words in the hearing of David, and David said, "Does it seem to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing I am a poor and lightly esteemed man?" And the servants of Saul told him, saying, "In this manner David spoke." Then Saul said, "Thus you shall say to David, the king does not desire any dowry but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies." But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to become the king's son-in-law. Now the days had not expired. Therefore, David arose and went, and he and his men, and killed 200 men of the Philistines. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full count to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, as a wife. Thus Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was still more afraid of David, so Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war. And so it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. And if you're reading along, we can continue in chapter 19, verse 1. It says, "Now Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, 'My father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until morning, and stay in a secret place and hide. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then what I observe, I will tell you.' Thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father, and said to him, 'Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good towards you. For he took his life in his hands and killed the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause?' So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, 'As the Lord lives, he shall not be killed.' Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these things. So Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a mighty blow, and they fled from him. Now the distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in the house with a spear in his hand, and David was playing music with his hand. Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. So David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, 'If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed.' So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed, put a cover of goat's hair for his head, and covered it with clothes. So when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, 'He is sick.' Then Saul sent the messengers back to see David, saying, 'Bring him to me in the bed that I may kill him.' And when the messengers had come in, there was the image in the bed with a cover of goat's hair for his head. Then Saul said to Michal, 'Why have you deceived me like this and sent my enemy away so that he has escaped?' And Michal answered Saul, 'He said to me, let me go. Why should I kill you?' So David fled and escaped and went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went ahead and stayed in Naoth. Now it was told Saul, saying, 'Take note, David is at Naoth in Ramah.' Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. Then Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then he also went to Ramah and came to the great wall, this at Seku. So he asked and said, 'Where are Samuel and David?' And someone said, 'Indeed, they are at Naoth in Ramah.' So he went there to Naoth in Ramah. Then the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore he said, 'Is Saul also among the prophets?'" As the saga continues throughout the book of 1 Samuel, we see Saul and his men continue to hunt David. But David is always able to escape assassination. There are even a couple of instances that we see in later chapters where David has the chance to kill Saul, but David chooses to spare his life instead. This story flows throughout the remainder of 1 Samuel until the final demise and death of Saul in the 31st chapter of 1 Samuel. So what are some of the themes that we see throughout this scripture that we're able to notice from the story of Saul and David? Some of the themes I noticed were selfishness. Selfishness because Saul put his own desires ahead of those of the Lord. Disobedience. Saul disobeying what the Lord commanded him. And in general, sin. We see what happens to Saul as he stops following the will of the Lord and begins following his own selfish desires and insecurities. The rise and fall of King Saul throughout 1 Samuel involves a sad and unfortunate ending to someone that once had great promise and potential as a servant of the Lord. However, the sad story is not just Saul's story. This could be my story or this could be your story. What I mean by that is even though none of us here tonight hold the authority of titles such as a king or queen, it would not be any less tragic if any of us fell away from the Lord. So if we can learn anything at all from the story, it should be that we keep our focus on God and His will, and not on our own selfish desires. Thank you.